Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. Today, we have a familiar guest. I'm sure you will recognize Rhiannon Mayer. She's grown up with us from the age of about 7 or 8, and every year we have a time capsule piece. And this year, our time capsule piece revolves around the Carroll Kennel Club Dog Show in West Friendship, Maryland. The show just successfully closed. Lots of best of shows, one for each day of the show. Many dog show clusters, and we're going to talk about dog shows. Don't worry about that. But the connections to our communities, our companions, and the people that we meet through these events influences our lives. Carroll Kennel Club and Kennel Club of Anne Arundel went together to form a cluster. 2 days belong to the Carroll Kennel Club, and 2 days belong to the Kennel Club of Anne Arundel. Rhiannon, you came home from college. You are a rising senior. Time is going quickly. You were probably 7 or 8 when our listeners first started hearing your tiny voice on Pet Tips. You've been in the dog world by default, because that's one of the worlds that I belong to. We have Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, which opened officially in 2005. And you came along in our world in 2003. So you really haven't known the world without dogs. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You started off in college, and like many of our listeners will know that you started off in college to do other things, and you came back last year and said, I'm going to do something different. And you were almost afraid to tell me and your dad what you were going to do.
Well, yeah, I was a little afraid to tell you and dad that I wanted to become a vet, because I knew from you I would get the, I told you so.
Now, when you say vet, you mean veterinary medicine.
Veterinary medicine, yes.
Well, you know, I got the I told you so from my mom when we opened the kennel. I can still hear her voice. You bought a place with a kennel and you're going to close it? Oh, yes, it's going to be a guest house. We're not going to run the kennel. Uh-huh.
I was surprised your face was like, good for you. I'm glad you finally said it.
You know, as a parent saying, my adult child would like to go into a profession and has selected a profession that she can support herself and benefit the community and be a member and a practicing physician of animals. Why wouldn't I be excited? But I think this goes to something a little bit deeper and is connected to the dog shows. So let's back up. You are a rising senior in undergraduate and you will be applying to veterinary school. So you're not in that path yet.
Not yet, but I would like to be in that path soon.
So I have a question. We keep hearing in our communities that there's a shortage of veterinaries, yet you're very worried about veterinary school because it's so difficult to get into. Can you bridge that gap a little bit for us?
I kind of don't get it myself, because everyone is saying, oh, we need veterinaries, we need veterinaries, we need veterinaries, but yet you have to have a 4-point whatever GPA.
On a 4-point scale.
On a 4-point scale just to get into vet school.
Do you think there is a disconnect from applying to veterinary schools and trying to get everything just right so you can get in versus what you're hearing in the communities with there aren't enough vets to go around?
Yes. What I have seen on veterinary schools' websites is that it is harder to get into veterinary school than it is medical school.
Why?
Which is backwards to me.
No, maybe not for the dog lovers, but why do you think that is?
I'm actually not sure.
One of the things I've often heard is there are fewer veterinary schools than medical schools. And one of the points that you've raised offline was a GPA piece.
There's a GPA piece. You have to have a certain amount of job shadow hours, which I don't think that's backwards, because what I have heard from several internships with the vets is they have had students where they have never done a job shadow before, and they got into vet school, and then they're just like, I don't like this, and transferred out.
Oh my. In your experience and in working with the internships, are you thinking that much like medicine and much like other fields, having that internship and that experience and knowing what you're getting into with the high grade requirements is good?
Yes.
I can see that. The thought that's in my mind when I went to graduate school, one of the pieces that we were always told was you want the 3.0 B student. You want that high B student that has a job and they're balanced and they've can handle life in multiple ways. They're going to college, they're supporting part of their college education, they're working, they're going, they're involved. Because when they get into the working world, they know the give and take and they can be successful on the ground. Where someone who may be a straight A student or a 4-point or 4-point plus student may not have some of the balance skills. What are your thoughts on that?
I was actually just looking at a veterinary school that physically had said, we want the B student.
Really?
I forget which school it was.
So do you think that the veterinary world is making a change, or admissions to veterinary schools is making a change?
I would assume that as well. There are more veterinary schools that are opening come 2025.
Interesting. So one of the ways that the veterinary community is meeting the demand or the education of the veterinaries is by increasing the number of veterinary schools, thereby perhaps opening opportunities for the education moving forward without reducing requirements.
Correct.
Interesting. We're definitely going to have to bring on some veterinary schools and have the same conversation from their point of view. We started the conversation off with the dog show and coming home. This was the first year I can ever remember you saying to me, I want to go to the dog show. When is it? You've been running back and forth to the AKC. What are you doing there? And it piqued your interest. Was it because of your career choice change, or was it because you've gotten older and wondering what the heck mom's doing in her spare time?
A little bit of both.
Why?
Well, I always felt like the dog show for me, at least this time around, was a little bit of both between self-serving and just helping out in the community. Because I'd kind of always wondered why and what you were doing, as well as it kind of piqued my interest because I'm going into the veterinary medicine world.
This dog show was not your first dog show. And a lot of our listeners may be rolling their eyes backwards in their heads and going, oh, dog show. It's like the Miss America pageant. It's a pretty dog pageant. Is that what you found out?
Yes and no.
What did you find out?
What I found out was it was kind of like the Miss Dog Show or the Mr. Dog Show. But it was also, you had the breeder world, and then you had the handler, or the owner.
Or the bred by.
Or the bred by. What I saw was you got to see a little bit of all three in the ring with the same dog.
Were there differences?
Yes.
Interesting. The confirmation show started off as breed preservation. There is a standard. When a breed is registered with the AKC, there is a standard, and that standard is written by the parent club. It is what the breed should look like, act like, feel like, move like, the traits, the behaviors. It's the standard of the breed. For us Bichons, they have a certain type, a certain coat type, a certain coloring around their eyes, a certain nose color. Their legs move a certain way. Their personality should be fluffy and bubbly and playful. There's a standard that goes with what they should be. And that's what the confirmation shows are looking for, is if they are built to the standard and if they are representative of the standard, then they can perform their job well. They can be the working dog, the herding dog, the companion dog. They can be the sporting dog. And that's why the confirmation shows, and really breed heritage, is being preserved. So it's not the best dog or the prettiest dog. It's the dog that most represents the breed standard that they're being selected for, which I find interesting. I'm not sure if most of our listeners know that or not.
I didn't know that, which was kind of cool.
You went this time and you saw lots of things. There were vendors selling stuff. Was it all dog-related stuff?
Not necessarily. You had your standard dog blankets, bait box. The Great Pyrenees had blankets. But also next to the Carroll Kennel Club was VEG. VEG is Veterinary Emergency Group.
And there was an emergency veterinary.
Mm-hmm.
They had lots of wonderful conversations there.
And I learned a lot. May have gotten a potential internship for next year.
All kinds of things, the connections and the networks you make. One of the things I saw that I thought was really interesting about the vendors this year, there's a lot of money that goes through in buying dogs, breeding dogs. And one of the misconceptions is, at least I perceive a misconception to be, if you breed a litter of dogs, you make a lot of money. Oftentimes, when you are talking to the reputable breeders, the breeders of merit, what you'll find is locating the correct breeding pair and bringing the health up so that everybody's healthy when they're conceiving. And then when they have the puppies are healthy, the mother's healthy, everybody moves forward in a very healthy way. It brings in veterinary questions, and it brings in nutritional questions, and it brings in lots of hormonal questions, and how the dogs move forward in a healthy way, and then how they're placed in homes requires a lot of care and a lot of financial input. Veterinary medicine isn't cheap. Nutrition isn't cheap. All of these factors come into play into breeding healthy dogs. Because of that and the travel, the cost of bringing healthy dogs into the world, but also the travel then to market. And quite honestly, some of the dog shows are a bit of marketing because you're showing off your line, you're showing off your breed. As we've said on the Pet Tip, it's a place for people to come and see and talk and get information about what breed of dog they might be interested in. Or if they're looking for a doodle cross, you can see the golden and the doodle, the lab and the doodle, the sheepdog and the poodle before they start doodling. So they might understand the traits of the breed a little better. One of the vendors I saw, speaking of financials, were financial advisor folks as a vendor. It made a lot of sense. There's RVs parked outside. There's dogs inside. There's people who are using their disposable income to campaign and produce quality dogs. The other thing I saw that just really made me stop was the clothing. Because when you go to a dog show, this is the thing. What were people wearing when they were showing in the ring?
Suits.
It was formal attire. It was dress appropriate attire. It was a business attire. It was business casual or a little more. It was a suit type affair. And then you see all of the leggings, because I know when I get up in the morning and I'm taking the dogs out and working things, I am not wearing a suit to walk my dog and keep my dog healthy. What about you?
No, I wouldn't.
One of the conversations that we had with the veterinary group, and I'm so glad that you have all these wonderful people that are having these interactions, and there was a great conversation that happened outside of the show ring. One of the questions was, well, these dogs don't have the best lives, right? They're just in an area where they're contained and they're traveling all the time. Is that what you understand the show world to be?
Not really.
One of the questions that was asked is, but how is that? And that was when there was this wonderful conversation that broke out. And it wasn't an argument. It was an educational piece. One of the questions was, if the dogs were always in a contained, confined environment, how would they have the muscle structure in order to be able to achieve the conformation they do? And that's when my click went back to the vendor with the leggings going, because we're walking them in leggings every morning because this is what we do. We're getting out, we're exercising, we're enjoying their companionship. They're moving, they're doing their work. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the muscle structure that they have. They wouldn't have the conformation that they have. The bones would be there, but not necessarily the muscle structure and the nutrition and all of the things that make the quality of life come together. Getting the exercise, getting the nutrition, getting the social interaction. If those dogs were socially not able to handle walking through an entire area of people and activity and other dogs and sounds, they couldn't be competing in the events that they're competing in. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us and keeping us updated on your progress. We've enjoyed your conversation. When we come back, we'll be talking about all the ins and outs behind the dog show.
Join me, Rayshan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.